Praise God. Man, I got a lot of water here. I just want to stay hydrated. That's good, though. You know, God is good, right? Every day. I was kind of sick all week, and just even yesterday I was coughing up a lung, but brings me enough to sing a little worship. So thank you, guys. If I have to kind of turn the mic off from time to time, if I start going to like a coughing attack, it's better for your ears, so I'll turn it off and then I'll let you guys know. But yeah, hopefully we won't need that. But hey, welcome to Christ Community Church. My name is Michael Rodriguez. I'm the lead pastor here. It's a little cold, I know. I keep saying nobody wants to start the Clovija ministry, San Marcos ministry. I'm telling you. Yeah, right? You bring it in, you put it on, you put a poncho on, and then you bring it back. We'll wash it. It's a ministry. I'm telling you guys. Could be onto something. And if you're really cold, we'll start. It'll be a fundraiser, too. You can rent it for $5. I don't know. I'm kidding. It is a little cold in here, though, so. But what's that? Yeah, with the ropes. All right. I like that. excuse me, guys. Well, happy Mother's Day again, right? Let me begin by saying happy Mother's Day to all the moms that are here. And if you're not a mom, even if you play a motherly role, right? How many of you guys, because we're celebrating mothers, yes? It's appropriate? Yes, 100%, right? But how many of you guys are like the oldest sibling too? That you almost have to, you're kind of like the part-time mom when you didn't know it when you're growing up, right? My sister's not here, but she was like our... My mom, but she was mean, though. She's not here. So some of us are blessed with like a mom and then an older sister kind of mom. And man, you know, we thank them too. They did the best they could while our parents were out working in the fields, right? So, but really is a blessing to spend Sunday morning with moms and aunts. Right? How many aunts in the room? Sometimes you're filling in, having to play a role to... I say mom by proxy sometimes. you guys hear me? Trying to clear my throat. And there's also just sometimes God has called you into another person's life to also be a motherly role model, right? A spiritual mom is what we call it in the church. To come alongside people, right, in their journey of faith as well. To show them love and compassion and kindness. And the goodness of who God is in that person's life. Amen? So we have a lot to celebrate. Now, you guys know me, kind of a nerd. It's true. I think that's why Stephanie, But first, the reason why we met was actually because her best friend used to copy all my science homework in high school, freshman year. And she also said, who's that guy? He's smart and he's good looking. I don't know. Sorry, I can't help myself. I had hair back then, guys. It was different, you know? So, yeah, I had a hairstyle. I used to let it go like, shh. Blow dry it. Anyway, where's I going with that? I got lost. You know where he's like, squirrel? I totally got lost on that one. I was going to make a point. What was that my point? That was a nerd. Yes. Thank you. I was a nerd. I still am. And so when I prep for sermons, guys, I like to kind of know like, hey, what was I do a lot of like background. And it's hard. Sometimes it takes me longer because then I'm like, oh, okay. And then I start looking and I start typing. And then I go back to the sermon, right? So you guys know. How many of you guys know when Mother's Day actually became a national holiday? Anybody? See, that's why I'm telling you, nerd, right? You're about to learn. So it actually started, the very first Mother's Day type event started in 1908. Started in Philadelphia at a church. It was a Methodist church. They did a big invitation about celebrating moms, right? It got backed by, there was a big retail person that came alongside and funded it, did all kinds of stuff. They did a big event at that chain store. And that was the first sort of event here in the U.S., 1908, Philadelphia. Then there was somebody by the name of Ann Jarvis. that she was the one who actually helped to start that whole movement. She started a letter writing campaign and writing op-ed pieces in the newspaper about how moms, every other holiday is like male dominated. There's not anything that recognizes women for their hard work and contributions as moms. And so finally, 6 years later, in 1914, who was the president in 1914? No. There's a park named in Fresno. The first part of it is Woodward. Yeah. Kearney. There is a park, Kearney. But it's Woodrow Wilson actually signed it into as a national holiday in 1914, right? So if you're ever on Jeopardy, you know, you can, whatever you win, half the money has to come to the church. It's where you learned it. Amen? I'm telling you. Between the Covija ministry and Jeopardy winnings, man, we're going to be in a building like this. But that's when it started, guys. But that's kind of like the national, the historical side of it. Listen, we're here to honor moms and what they mean in terms of their biblical significance, right? And so we're going to go through and crack our Bibles open and learn a lot about a few different characters. We're going to cover a lot of ground because at the end of the day, it's good. You want to hear some anecdotal stuff and different stories, but there's nothing like God's word to feed your soul so you can be encouraged about what it is to honor moms and how we do that biblically and different role models that we see exemplifying that. So the first scripture that we're going to read today is out of Psalm 127, Psalm 127, verse 3. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, "Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him," right? Again, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. That means that, let me just say it simply, motherhood is a divine gift, and it's also sacred responsibility. Motherhood is a divine gift and a sacred responsibility. Now, moms, you guys are in the room. How many of you guys know that being a mom is a gift? Sacred. And it's a whole lot of responsibility, yeah? Number one, because life is precious, right? Life is absolutely a gift from God. It's the reason why we fight for life, right? We're made in His image and in His likeness. We didn't come from a little bacteria and somebody microwaved it and it became two, and then you became a lizard and a fish that turned into a gorilla and a donkey. And then suddenly, you're somebody saying, "Well, I have some family members that might still be donkeys." No. Don't think like that. That's not true. But life is a gift from God. I can never understand that. Now, for the dads in the room, if you witnessed it, the miracle of life being, you don't understand it. Huh? You're like, sorry, you almost faint. You're like, what is happening? Life is a gift. It's a miracle, guys. It is a sacred responsibility as well. Because God is entrusting us. Imagine. Man, sometimes you're like saying, man, I don't know what God was thinking. Think back when you were that age, when you first started having kids. Anybody? Right? And what did you think that you knew? Nothing, right? You didn't have a checking account. You didn't know. You drove a beat up car. You had, your credit was all messed up. Yeah? I'm just saying, like, some of our credit is still messed up. Motherhood is a divine gift, and it is a sacred responsibility, guys. We can't say it enough. What a gift it is to be able to be a parent. I'm just saying, now Father's Day is coming, guys. Mother's Day comes first because they do more of the heavy lifting. People always say, "How many kids did you have?" I had four. I didn't have any. True story. When we took my son. This young man right here, we went to a training camp or some kind of, we went to go see Thomas the Trains, the tank engines. My kids were all into it. I was wearing a shirt very similar to this. My son was three, and he looks at my belly and he says, "Dad, when are you going to have your baby?" This little kid, you're lucky that we're in public. I was so embarrassed. Oh, yes, I've had four kids. I didn't have any of them. My beautiful wife had all of them. It is truly a gift from God, right? It's sacred. And it's a huge responsibility, right? For moms, it's a huge responsibility. Now, how many young dads do we have in the room? Any? Yeah, my brother. All right. I'm young too then. We're as young as we feel, right? But listen, if you're a young man in here at the same time, let me tell you, man, it's a huge, such a huge responsibility. I say this to any young man who has future aspirations of giving, of getting married and having kids. It is such a shared responsibility now, guys. It's not just one person's responsibility. It's a shared responsibility. I'll give some more when we talk about Father's Day. But it is such a, it's an amazing, again, gift and responsibility and sacrifice that's required to be a mom. And why? Why is it different? Because who understands kids like better than their mom, right? Now, moms in the room, you'll know when you were maybe, when your kids were younger, if something was going on, you could almost hear. You have like a different kind of like, different sense, huh? Something, danger. And they would go around, your kid was like playing with the iron or playing with a snake or something in the yard or something. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like a sixth sense, huh? I don't have that sense. I'd be like, somebody has to come and get me. I tell my wife, see the white of my eyes, and that's how you know that I'm paying attention. But if not, I don't have that sixth sense. That, moms have the sixth sense, right? Because there's a different sense of nurture. I don't know what it is, an innate connection, right? Maybe it's carrying the baby for 9 months. You know, when we sang that reckless, when we say you were singing songs over me, when we sang that reckless, how many of you guys sang to your baby, right? Maybe that's cool, right? Your baby even recognizes your voice before anybody else, huh? Isn't that kind of, and when they get older, then they learn how to ignore your voice. I don't know. I don't know what happened there. I'm like, do you hear me? It's tough being a pastor's kid. But it is such a, like I said, the nurturing component and how vital and how important it is for to nurture somebody, right? A little baby, cute little baby, and what it requires. My favorite, every kid, no matter what your age is, right? You always see them like they're little. Like I could still, they're a big old, have a goatee right here, mijo. Right here, you can still tap them on the bottom, right? Because you love your kids like that. But there's something unique when you see them when they're so dependent, right? That's my favorite age. You just have them and then you smell them, they have the baby smell, right? But being a mom is a divine gift and a sacred responsibility. We're going to move on because the Bible provides us different examples of mothers who demonstrated tremendous faith, sacrifice, and love. Faith, sacrifice, and love is the fill in the blank for that second section there. Now, how many of you guys know that the, can you, I would say, we're in church, a Christian church, you know we're going to talk about, who we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about Mary, right? Because of what it costs, the sacrifice that it costs her to raise Jesus. But we always say, when you go through and you read Christmas, oftentimes you go through really quickly. It's like, oh, the angel appeared and Gabriel was there and he says, behold, you know, you're going to be have a child. And Mary says, how can I have a child? I'm not married, right? I would say it's important to recognize the sacrifice that she had to make. Luke chapter 1, verse 38, after the angel, after her exchange with the angel Gabriel, she went back and forth, right? How is this going to happen? Not married, still a virgin. He says, no, the Spirit will come upon you and you will conceive, right? God's Son, we'll name him Jesus. She says in Luke 1:38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Man, that is an amazing. I said, man, you know, Jesus had to carry a cross, but Mary had to carry one too. Right? I don't know if you can, everything that she went through, everything that she endured, not only after even raising Jesus and having him and watching him, right, go through that physical abuse and punishment so that he can go to the cross for our salvation, But even just in that moment, when God is calling her to be obedient, she's going to have an uphill battle. Because imagine that you're in her shoes. And next, imagine that you're now trying to explain to Joseph, who you're betrothed, you're going to get married to him. And you say, the angel came to me and says that I'm going to have God's baby. Joseph was like, oh yes. Who's the milkman? They didn't have a milkman back then. But imagine what she had to endure. I'm just being honest with you. That was had to have been a very challenging situation for her to be obedient and the sacrifice that she had to go through. You think that when she was going to the market, there wasn't whispers? You think that she was enduring the chisme? Even Joseph, right, he says he was a man of integrity, a man of honor. He wanted to divorce her quietly after the baby was born. And then an angel appeared to him. So Mary gives us a great example of what it means to somebody to sacrifice, to be obedient, and to love a child that you know you're going to raise up. And ultimately, as Jesus was prophesying that he was the Messiah and telling them what was going to happen to him, to be told up front what was going to happen to your child. Can you imagine what Mary felt like? The second biblical example that we have is Hannah. Now, how many of you guys know the story of Hannah? She has a son. His name is Samuel, right? Now, we're going to read a passage of Scripture there. And I'm going to move quickly, guys. I know you're like, man, we're going to move quickly. We're going to make up some ground. If you turn with me to Samuel chapter 1, we're going to read a little bit about Hannah. Samuel chapter 1 verse 1 says, there was a man from Ramathaim, a Zophite, who was from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Rehum, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zumph. An Ephraimite, right? He had two wives. One was Hannah, the other one was Peniah. Peniah had children, but Hannah had none. Years after, this man went up to town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas and the two sons of Eli were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give two portions of meat for his wife Peniah and to her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah, he gave double the portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her still, and she wept and could not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? I mean, any mom in here says no. Let me answer that question. That's a rhetorical question. You know the answer to that, Elkanah. But let me answer it. No. Once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting in his chair by the doorpost of the Lord. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look after your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Not so, my Lord. Hannah replied, I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring my soul out to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here in my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went away and ate something. Her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord and went back to the home in Ramah. Elkanah made his love to his wife, Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. Amen. I know you're like, man, that's a lot of scripture, Pastor. It is. But listen, you came to church to hear God's word, not to hear me talk. Not to hear my stories of sometimes payasadas. This is an amazing testimony of a woman who, you know, back then the times were different. You could have multiple wives. I don't know why you want to do that. One wife is enough. Amen? Like, because all my heart, like all men, all of our heart belongs to one woman only, right? Amen. See? I was going somewhere with that. We don't want to be divided heart. We want to have one whole heart. Right? Yeah. But back then, it was okay. You could have multiple. Can you imagine? Oh, my gosh. Well, these were, imagine, I mean, the fighting, so what's happening here is the backbiting, right? Elkanah was able to have kids with one of his wives, but not with Hannah. But in the scripture, it says that even when they went to give, give an offering, he would give double, right? Because he loved Hannah more. I mean, you think about that. Now, it goes on to tell us what? That she would make fun of her. The other one would criticize her, mock her, because she wasn't able to have children. Finally, she's going, right? They're praying together. They go into the temple, and she's praying still. And from the doorpost, Eloi sees her, and she's like, dude, this girl is drunk or something. She's like, no, I'm not drunk. But I'm praying to the Lord, right? Man, this misery that I feel, this pain that I feel about God not being able to have children. That is an important message, right, in terms of Hannah's testimony, his story. Listen, God has not done what weaving his story in terms of what your life is like. It's Mother's Day. Not everybody in here is a mother, right? God has an ideal and a perfect plan for your life. We have to trust in him. Sometimes there is those nights, like Hannah, years even, where she was enduring the path, and she was going, and she was showing up, and she was praying faithfully. And at the end of the day, God blessed her and answered her prayer. Because her prayer to God was to say, remember me even in my misery. And ultimately, God did allow her, right, to have a child. Now, the deal that she made was that she was going to give the baby back to the Lord. If you continue reading Samuel 1, she just raised him up until she was able to wean him off, and then she dedicated him back to the Lord. And Samuel became a great prophet. I don't know if you guys know that. Samuel became the first prophet that actually was elected and chosen, right, for Saul, and he went to go on and anoint David as well. Here's my story. Here's Hannah's story and how it weaves into it. God is sovereign and he's in control. Sometimes he answers our prayers in different times. Sometimes we want this one thing to happen. Maybe it's wherever your life is like. You might be in a situation and circumstance where you say, man, I really want this thing to happen. We got to keep trusting God. God is faithful and he's good. And I say it all the time when I'm up on the worship stage. Our situation and circumstance doesn't determine God's goodness. Let me tell you right now, wherever you are in your life, whether it's a season of singleness, married, not having kids, trying to have kids, God sees you. And let me tell you this, God's portion is enough. God's portion is enough. We'll read the scriptures and say, the joy of the Lord, my joy, right? Yes. There's joy in having relationships like being married and having kids and a healthy family. We don't always have those things. Our joy as believers has to come from the Lord. And then the overflow. Guess what? This life that we have is temporary, guys. It's short. I just told you guys, in 1993... I was 140 pounds, had all kinds of hair, looked all good. Look at now. Jane is going to tell me, when are you going to have your baby, Dad? Life is short, guys. We have to live for the eternal. We live to satisfy one and know that he's for you. He's not against you. His plans. And that's the thing about a lot of times we're trying to muster it in our own strength. We want this one thing. And we have to let it go. Let go and let God take care of it. How many of us have gone through that struggle where you're like trying to do something, fighting on your own, and then you're like, you know what, God, finally, you take it. And then God, what does God do? He's like, fine, I've been waiting. Like, come on. The word that I tell my wife all the time when I see her is, you like to suffer, huh? You got a perfectly handsome, buff guy right here that can help you out. But no, here you are trying to carry everything in. Go to Costco with like 10 boxes. My wife is the kind, she doesn't like to go to the car more than once. So she tries to bring everything out on the same trip. One bag on her shoe, you know. And I'm right there like, you like to suffer, huh, babe? That's how God, I imagine that God would have a sense of humor. He looks down on us and says, man, you're struggling so bad with that one thing, that relationship that you want, that one thing, that prayer that you can, how about you just stop? How about you just let me be God? How about you let me be sovereign over the situation? You think that I can't handle that? God is God and he's good. Hannah gives a testimony to that. She prayed and prayed and wept and wept. And then finally she says, you know what? I'm going to do this. And she went back and finally she ate even, right? It says that she says, God, I made this. It's on you now. And what did God do? Came through. Because God is faithful. God is faithful. And even after that, what did she do? What an act of faith that she wanted this child so bad. And what did she do? She could have just said, you know, nah, I'm going to keep him. He's my mijo. Right? What did she? She gave him back to the service of the Lord. He went on to do some amazing things for the Lord. So wherever you are in your situation and circumstance, remember, Hannah has an amazing testimony about how she was going through that struggle. And finally she says, man, I'm going to pray. Let God be God. And God delivered, right? And was did an awesome thing to her. Let me tell you a little secret. Your life is not about you. But Pastor, I have an Instagram and my own Facebook page. I even built myself a website about me. I'm a blogger. Your life is not about you. It's about God and what he's doing through you. He made us. Life is a gift. And guess what? We're going to go back to him. His life is short like this, guys. It's not about us. It's about God. And God did an amazing thing through Hannah and through her faithfulness and through her sacrifice. All right, I got to make up some ground. The last person we're going to take some examples from is from Moses' mother. How many of you guys know Moses's? What's her name? Man, I would give you $100 if you know what her name is. Somebody what? Oh, he looked it up. Don't be cheating. No, it is in the handout. Yes, brother. Okay, yes. Tony's all right here. Real quick. Oh, quick. I never saw him reach for his guide that fast. It's Jochebed, right? Right? There you go. You got the basketball player, Djokovic, named after her. I'm lying. That's not true. Close though, Jochebed. Let's read it real quick. Exodus chapter 2. The birth of Moses. It says, now a man, tribe of Levi, married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw him, that he was fine, and she hid him for 3 months, because at that time, you guys remember, Pharaoh was trying to kill all of the male children, Israelite children. But when she could no longer hide him, she put him in a papyrus basket for him, coated it with tar, and she placed the child in it and put it along the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave. She opened it and she saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's son and daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered. So the girl went, and the baby got the baby's mother. And she got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. Wow. Right? How many of you guys would take your little baby and put him in a basket and say, like, all right, let's see what's going to go. Put him down the river. Heck no, right? What a testimony of faith that was. Of course, she was smart. She sent Miriam along, right? She's like, hey, go scope out what happens to the baby. But what an amazing testimony of faith. But sometimes, you know, hey, you got to, she knew what the consequence too was, right? She had to release it in order for God to bring it back. So how many of us struggle with releasing our kids? Yeah, it's natural, right? It's hard. We don't want to release them. They're all full grown mustache. They're all, I was going to say another thing. And we still don't want to release them, huh? It's just a testimony, right? That God says, you know what? You got to release them to me and see what I'm going to do. And yeah, watch over them. You need people around. You need a tribe of people saying, hey, keep an eye out. You see my kid, you'd call me. Of course. We have our Miriams, our aunts, our uncles. You need a tribe of people to surround your kid, right? To love them. Because they're sneaky. Yeah. They are. Just think about all the things you did when you were that age, yeah? Man. But Jochebed's, it's a testimony of faith that you have to release what God has given you and know that God is going to watch over. Ultimately, you think that, we know that you love your kids. Do you think that God doesn't love your child? You think your God doesn't love your child more than you? Because listen, Jochebed's story ended up that Miriam was able to find the, she kept an eye on the baby, and Pharaoh's daughter found the baby and said, hey, you, go find somebody to nurse. And she's like, do you want me to take him to the mom? Or get somebody? So she brought him back to the mom. And then she got paid even, right? And then he became Pharaoh's son. And what? God had a plan for him. He ultimately led, right, the Jews out of captivity. He was the chosen one. But that means that we have to have faith to let go. We let go and let God do what he's going to do. But what a testimony of faith that she had as well. I'm going to move on because I'm running out of time. Number three, a godly mother exemplifies virtues such as strength, wisdom, and fear of the Lord. I don't have time to read this one because I want to finish. You guys, take some time to look at the last proverb. It's Proverbs 31. It's so awesome. It talks about the virtues of a godly woman. It's really important you go on and you see what it talks about, how she is industrious, how she is sacrificial, how she loves. She's a woman of action. How she supports and takes care of her household, her family, and her kids. That she's a woman of strength and of dignity, of wisdom and kindness. But the main one, and I'm going to read this one. 28, right? She watches over her household affairs. She does not eat the bread of idols. Children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceiving and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that she has done, and let her works bring praise to the city gate. Right? So it's not about all this beauty and all this. The beauty's fleeting, guys. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Listen, you got to put God first. That's what we're trying to say. You have to fear the Lord first. Because if you don't, this world will consume you. I promise you. Moms, I'm being honest with you, your most important task is your kids and your family. Your education and your job are important, but your most important task is that family. And I know there's a time for another message about how you were coming alongside. God has a plan for how he wants families to be. For the man to be the head, ultimately, and the woman to be his helper. I know. You don't like it? Write a letter to the Holy Spirit. But men, we're going to talk about why we're having problems. If we're passive and we're not taking that responsibility, authority over, don't be surprised that our houses are not running the way they're meant to be, the way that God meant to be. But a woman that fears the Lord, your first priority is your relationship with God. Because out of that, man, if you're trying to keep your spouse, your kids, your work, your boss, you're trying to keep them satisfied, it's not going to happen. It has to be your fear of the Lord. And it's not a fear of like a fear and trembling. How many of you guys still have your parents around? Yeah? If you're honest, even though you're grown, when you're around them, isn't there a sense of like, still? There is. It is. It's just that fear. But it's a different kind of fear. Not the kind of fear that when you would come home, like my parents would go pick oranges or whatever, we'd be home, and it's like, oh, shoot, they're here. Get up and start vacuuming. And a different kind of fear. Nobody can be doing anything fun when my dad comes home. You better go pretend like you're mowing the lawn. It's a different kind of fear now. It's a fear of respect. It's more of love. It changes. When we read the scripture, we're not talking about like, oh, I'm afraid that God is going to like when I was a kid growing up, that God was going to squish me like an ant the way I used to squish ants. That's not that. I don't fear God. I have reverence for him. I love him. I'm afraid of him. I don't want to disappoint him. Not because I feel like he's a bully, God. Do you know what I mean? You guys are tracking what I'm trying to say? So a woman who fears the Lord is worthy to be praised. That needs to be our first responsibility, our first priority. Above all these other things, I'll tell you what. Women nowadays, man, it's tough. Because guess what? How much time do we have? It's hard to do all things. It is hard to do all things. To compete in the workplace, to look a certain way, to go and have the same education stuff that you have to, get married, look good, have kids. And let me just tell you, that is a lie from the enemy. God loves you and values your role. It's not from all these things, these exterior things. Those things are important, but they have to have right priority in life, or we become out of balance. Remember the role that God has given you first as a woman. When we read Proverbs 31, be encouraged. Man, you have such an important role to play in families. You can do things that we can't do. You're the nurturer. You're the carer. You're the one that comes alongside, right? All my boys are mama's boys, right? I'm just like chopped liver. Like, they could be bleeding. I'm right here. Mom, like, I'm right here, dude. Like, I can help you. Mom. You have a different sense. The kids need something different from you. That's important. Don't forget that. Fear of the Lord. What God has called you as a woman into your role as a family. And then the other stuff. Man, your work is your work and it's important. I get it. We all have that. Education is important. I get it. I'm not downplaying any of that. But also, at the end of your life, this goes for us too. People are not going to say, wow, she was an amazing so-and-so. She was the best at doing nursing. And she was an amazing accountant. She was the best. Nobody says those things. Take it with perspective. What matters the most is the people that God has entrusted us. If you're a mom, man, what a sacred privilege it is. Don't lose sight of that. And I know that your kids are like hardwired by the enemy to try to drive you crazy. I'm sorry. But they're in the flesh still. They're your child, right? Just love them. Love, love, love. Have patience the same way that God has patience with us. You have a very significant role to play. I'm going to just give you guys the last two fill in the blanks. Honoring our mothers is not only a commandment, but it's also an expression of gratitude and love. Honoring our mothers is not only a commandment, but also an expression of gratitude and love. Exodus chapter 2, chapter 20, verse 12. That's the fifth commandment. But it says, honor your father and your mother that you may live long in the land that your Lord, your God, is giving you. It's the first commandment with a promise. God is commanding you. If you're a kid in here, guess what? You need to honor your mom and your dad. You need to honor them. And if you still have your parents around, you need to honor them still. Because sometimes your parents are going to drive you crazy. Even as adults, you're like, we still have that. A little bit. My mom's right here. But we still have that. Don't we have it? We're like, ah! Honor your mother and your father, right? It's the first commandment with a promise. That your days may be go well with you, right? In the land that your Lord thy God has given you. And it's an expression of gratitude and love. Man, we have a lot to be thankful for. The sacrifices that are, I know. Sometimes we're reeling from things that have happened in the past, but man, the sacrifice and the love that they still have dedicated to us. We're not perfect. So let's not judge them by the same lens. It was like, you think how many times your kids are barely getting by because of how messed up we made them. Be honest. Let's not have a double standard there, guys. Yeah, I always say God gives us a lot of grace. We need to give grace back. Lastly, mothers have a significant role in shaping the faith and the character of their children. Mothers have a significant role in shaping the faith and character of their children. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. This is Paul writing to Timothy, right? He tells him, he's like, well, I love you like a son. He's like, he's going through and he's doing. Timothy was in Ephesus. He was a leader there. Paul's in prison. But he's talking about the testimony of faith through his grandmother and through his mother. Listen, you might be in a place right now where your child is not right with the Lord. You have a testimony of faith that we have to stand in the gap and intercede for our kids, yeah? We need a body of believers. We need people to come alongside. The other thing that we know, too, is something that my dad taught me a long time ago. He says, listen, sometimes even though you're saying the right thing, you might be right. It's already calloused. It's worn down right there. From all the, not yelling, from all the hard encouragement that we give our kids sometimes, they're like, it's like trying to drive a nail through a knot. Has anybody ever tried to do that? What happens to your nail? It bends and it breaks. Sometimes that's us, parents. Even though you're right, even though that nail might be the absolute truth, the thing that they need to hear, you're trying to, it's not going to go through. You need a body. You need the church. You need people to come alongside. You need other people alongside to say, my dad would say, find the soft spot, right? And make sure that somebody drives the hell out of the nail there. Listen, you have an amazing testimony. You have an important role in shaping the faith and the character of your children. Because guess what? We have the greatest influence on them. We do. How many of you guys have heard of somebody by the name of John Wesley? Anybody? He's in the 1800s. He was a person that was called, he's known for being the person that saved England. How many of you guys know that? In the 1700s, late 1700s, England was a place of absolute debauchery, guys. Filth and sin that was going through. But God used somebody called John Wesley to go through by horseback, preaching to every single town repentance. And there was a revival in England. And he's accredited for saving England. I don't know if you guys know that. He and his brother Charles started what's called the Methodist Church. I don't know if you guys know that. But you think that John Wesley did that on his own? See, a lot of people when you start going into the history and the churches, people will know, yeah, I know John. He preached 10,000 sermons. 10,000 sermons. Let me say that again. 10,000 sermons. Horseback riding from city to community, community, town to town, farm to farm, preaching repentance. And he sparked a revival. How did he do it? He did it because he had somebody that you don't know about. His mom. Would spend 1 hour with them praying and have daily appointments with them and encouraging her kids in the Word. And she didn't have her marriage was a difficult one. But John Wesley's faith is not accredited even to his dad. It's accredited to his mom and her faithfulness and how she prayed for her kids and how she set aside a time to show her kids fear the Lord and to get into the Word and every day study for an hour. And then she would also have a 1 hour a week where she would spend the times with the kids to reflect on them so they could ask different questions and get to know. It was that whole, you know, that date thing that people do nowadays back in the 1700s. And God used her in an amazing way to save an entire nation. The faith of one woman who's willing to prioritize and all the other things, despite she didn't have the perfect life, but she poured into her kids. And then her two sons sparked this amazing movement. Listen, I'm not sure that the next John Wesley is going to be here. You know, maybe the next Juan Sanchez. I don't know. Who knows? I always say, listen, this church is not even about, it's not about me. It could be our kids, the next generation. Let's just be faithful to what God has entrusted us to. Moms, thank you. Keep standing in the gap. Keep praying for your kids without ceasing. Right? God is faithful to do what he's going to do. Right? Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord, and we thank you, Lord God, for the gift of mothers, Lord. We thank you that you have uniquely selected us to be born, Lord God, to the moms that we have. What a blessing. Lord, it is. And Lord, yes, sometimes I know there's different situations and circumstances. Or maybe we didn't have the best upbringing. Maybe we have these other things that we have to deal with. But listen, we're here. Life is still a gift. You chose to give it to us. And ultimately, you're still weaving our testimony and story, Lord God, of your goodness. So, Lord, I'm just thankful today. I'm thankful for the opportunity, Lord, to share all these different examples. People who personify your goodness, of women who personify strength and wisdom and fear of you, Lord God. I pray for every mom that's in here, Lord God, that you continue to build them up, Lord. Father, meet them at their need right now, Lord God. Every woman that's in here, Lord, encourage them in whatever season they're in, Lord God. Maybe they're like Hannah. Maybe they're like Mary. Maybe they're like Jochebed. Lord, we all have different things where you're calling us to be faithful, to love sacrificially, to release and let go and allow you to be God. Lord, I pray for every mom that is in here, Lord God, to fill them with joy and with peace. That our joy and our peace comes from you first and foremost, and we need to fear you, Lord God, above anything else. But from that, Lord, we can have the overflow. And we need it, because being a mom is hard. It is extremely difficult, Lord God. The enemy wants nothing more than snatch up our kids, Lord God, and distract them and take them away, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to stand in the gap, to equip them, to teach them to love you and to fear you first, Lord, above all these other things. To love sacrificially the way that you've loved us. Show mercy and grace and strength and conviction and hard work ethic and prioritizing the right things in life, Lord God. Those are virtues that I think you're looking for in women, but also in men. So Lord, wherever we are, Lord, we have the opportunity today. If we still have our moms around, Lord, let's be thankful every day. Let's have gratitude and love, Lord. If there's things that we need to process and forgive, help us to do that. Your love is sufficient, Lord God. If we've been harmed and hurt, Lord God, there's nothing that can't be overcome by you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for the blessing and what it is, and just truly the gift that you give, Lord God, in life and in mothers, Lord. That it is a divine sacrifice. It is a divine gift, Lord, and a sacred responsibility. Continue to watch over our church family, Lord. Continue to keep us safe as we're going through, Lord. Wherever we're going, if we're going to celebrate, Lord, to spend time with our family, not to get upset, not to get riled up about different things, but just to really reflect on the gift of life that you've given us. Those of us that have kids, Lord, help us to continue to pour out and stand in the gap, Lord God, ultimately to raise them up, to send them back to you, Lord God, to send them out, Lord, to do your work, to build a kingdom. And those of us, Lord, maybe we're doing what we can, but help us to also to come alongside our brothers and sisters here, Lord God. We need to stand in the gap. We're a family, Lord God. We need each other. We need a community to raise up our kids. So let's do that, Lord God, to build up your kingdom. A healthy fear of the Lord only comes by knowing who you are, Lord Jesus. So if there's anybody this morning that doesn't know who Jesus is, or maybe has, through the course of this message, just felt the Holy Spirit calling upon them, I'm going to ask you to follow you in this prayer. Follow me in this prayer. Lord Jesus, I've been hearing this message. I've been hearing the prompts of you, Lord God, calling me back to you. Lord Jesus, I'm sick and tired of living the way that I am. I need to surrender my life to you, Lord. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died and you were resurrected for the forgiveness of my sins. Help me to live for you from this day forward. Help me to have a healthy fear of you, Lord God, above all. If you prayed that today in earnest for the first time, would you raise your hand? Is there anybody in here that's patient that's in this room? Thank you for the gift that you give us, Lord God. We accept it, Lord God. We accept it. We don't have to earn it. We're not saved by works. Truly just by our faith in you, Lord God. You do want us, like Paul says, to work it out. There'll be proof of that, Lord God. But we're saved by mercy and by faith in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you again. Help us to continue to go as we go out, Lord, to spend time with our families, with our mothers, to be grateful, not just this day, but every day, to care, to reach out, to connect, to honor and respect the women that have brought us into the world. And the women that have also been the moms to our children, or to our family. So thank you, Lord God, again for the gift that you've given us. An opportunity, Lord, to be grateful. Again, really just as an honor and opportunity to be a part of your church and to do the work that you've called us to be. Lord, keep us all safe. Gather us again, Lord God, and help us to get connected, Lord God. Help us to connect us to you first, daily in prayer and devotion, Bible study, to the fellowship of believers, Lord God. All the honor and all the glory is for you, Lord. Love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.